demanded the department to come and brief us on those issues is precisely because one of our mandate is to monitor the expenditure patterns of municipalities. And that would also include making sure that there is compliance with legislation and the issues raised by the Auditor General in particular are taken seriously by all involved. If we are serious about achieving the 2014 clean audit target. So we over time observed some changes with regard to how certain things are happening, and before we could reach some conclusions, we felt that it is important that the department appear here and give us some information as to what exactly is the department doing in its coordination efforts to get everybody involved to achieve and reach their intended outcome and get a feel of how far you are and what still needs to be done, and if there are any changes, we need to be advised of whatever changes are there. So in a nutshell, I'm sure we are all quite aware that all the three things that are reflected in the forms part of the strategy that you're talking about. So with that, I would like to quickly just introduce the members, and thereafter we can take a quick round of introductions so that we know who is here and who's not here, and then we will proceed. Just here in front is Honorable Charles Dipierre, the Chairperson of Finance Committee from the Northern Cape, and we have Honorable Berger, who's also the member of this committee from here in the Western Cape, and Honorable Makubela from Limpopo, and the rest of the other members will be joining us as we proceed, because there's quite a clash of meetings this morning in Parliament, so we had to live with the numbers that we have. So I will start with you, Madam, at the back, and come to you and move this way.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Committee Members. My name is Shanaz Majid. I'm the Deputy Director General in the Department of Cooperative Governance. My area of responsibility is for provincial and municipal government support. My Honourable Minister and Acting Director General sends greetings and apologies. Our Minister intended to be here, but had to be called away to an urgent crisis to be dealt with. So sincere apologies from our Minister and our Acting Director General. I'm here with some of my colleagues that will be leading the presentations, and they will be introducing themselves shortly. Mr. Ngama Matlawe, our Acting CEO of MISA, the Infrastructure Agency, will be joining us shortly, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is George Sitisho. I serve for the Department of Cooperative Governance International Affairs. I belong to the branch PMFS, which is led by Ms. Machin, and I'm also responsible for the local government general strategy.
Good morning. I'm Zivikas Manike, also from the department. I'm an executive manager responsible for intergovernmental fiscal relations. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Mbulelo Sgaba, also from COCTA, in the Governance and IGR branch. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Lebohan Degan. I'm the PLO for the ministry. Thank you.
Morning, Chair. Morning, members. My name is Ongama Mashawe. I'm the acting chief executive of MISA. Thanks.
MFMA advisor, MFMA implementation.
Morning, honourable members, colleagues as well. My name is P.V. Pele. I'm with the National Treasury, Office of the Accountant General, responsible for support on the MFMA implementation. Thank you.
Honourable Chair, members and colleagues, Ye Pele Samagie, National Treasury within Local Government Infrastructure Unit.
Morning, Chair, members. Nikumare, I'm from the National Treasury Parliamentary Office.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, members. My name is Andres Segeto. I'm from the Office of the Auditor General, and I am the Engagement Manager responsible for the Audit of the Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs Department.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Kabelo Makika. I'm with the Auditor General in the Parliamentary Office here in Cape Town.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Majid. And is it Miss or Mrs.? Yes. Miss. Okay. Miss Majid and the team. It is a pity we have not received an apology. I just noted what you said, but we have not received an apology from either the minister or his deputy, and that's quite concerning to me, particularly also that even the DG is not here. I take note of the fact that you are the Deputy DG, but I just wanted to register our concern about the fact that we did not receive any formal apology. I know officials would always present apologies on behalf of ministers, but we would have appreciated to receive a written apology. But we'll note what you just said, and I'm hopeful that your presentation will meet our expectation. I trust. And without any waste of time, I'll hand it over to you, ma'am, and you will direct us to who do the presentation.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We will start off with Mr. George Shetisho, that will lead the presentation, followed then by Mr. Manike and Mr. Ngama Matlawi last. Please, George. Chair, we will then be guided by you after each presentation. I trust that you will manage how you'd like this conversation to unfold. But George, please.
How did you prepare it? Perhaps we can be guided by that. Because all these things are within the strategic charter statute as an overall document, and the rest are just there. So.
Honourable Chairperson, the presentation is mainly, my presentation is the focus in terms of introducing two programs, which is the MISA agent itself and then Operation Clean Audit and the background around Operation Clean Audit and MISA, but also the implementation progress of every status to where we stand today.
So once we have completed, we have covered all the three?
My presentation is fairly short.
Okay.
As a prelude to the details.
Oh, then we'll have a separate presentation on MISA.
Yes, the gory details are in OPCA.
Okay. You may shoot.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chair, the content of the presentation first is to deal with the purpose and the acceleration of the local government turnaround strategy, and to give a background, to give a broader focus and aims of local government turnaround and institutionalization of local government turnaround, the rollout and ongoing performance. Chairperson and honorable members of the committee, the purpose of this presentation is to submit a progress report with regard to the acceleration of local government turnaround strategy, in the main focusing on the following issues. the acceleration of service delivery, enhancing good governance, promoting sound financial management, fighting corruption, facilitating sustainable infrastructure development. In terms of this acceleration of turnaround, the local government turnaround strategy was approved by Cabinet during December of 2009 and is the overarching strategy that includes flagship projects such as Operation Clean Audit, known as OPCA, business adopt and the municipality, revenue enhancement, as well as the special purpose vehicle now called the Municipal Support Agent. MINMEC has prioritized 108 municipalities throughout the country. 81 of these municipalities fall within the MISA program. The MISA presentation will reflect this in detail. Implementation of Operation Clean Audit by 2014 is ongoing, and the details in this regard will be reflected in the next presentation. Honorable Chairperson. In terms of our background, sir, the local government turnaround strategy finds its roots in various government support programs, that is, municipal support program followed by the five-year strategic agenda, Project Consolidate partnered with the Sienza Manje, now Sienza Manje having being assimilated into MISA, and then outcomes of the 2009 assessment of the state of local government and conceptualization and implementation of the local government turnaround strategy. In terms of the broader focus of the local government turnaround strategy, Chairperson, the implementation of the Outcome 9 delivery agreement between the President and Minister finds expression in the rollout of local government turnaround strategy, as you rightfully have indicated in your introduction. To coordinate various stakeholders, that is provincial and national sector departments, as well as state-owned enterprises, to ensure that the constitutional imperatives of the department, which is good governance, are implemented. And also to enhance and developmental local government. To consolidate the pre-2011 priorities as identified in 2009, and also to implement the post-2011 priorities and Vision 2014. Honorable Chair, the COCTA branches are currently in the process of incorporating and mainstreaming local government turnaround strategies into their annual performance plans. And the turnaround strategy is currently coordinated by a team of senior officials from three branches. One is from the office of the DG, one is from the office of the COO, and two from the PMGS branch. The state of permanence of the team is being finalized. The rollout of local government turnaround strategy. The department acknowledges that the majority of municipalities require some support in one form or the other. After the assessment and consultation with the provinces, 108 municipalities were identified to receive integrated support on the five identified key performance areas mentioned above. All 108 municipalities in the nine provinces have been visited and where detailed and thorough engagement took place, focusing on their municipal specific turnaround-specific strategies and support required to implement them. Most stakeholders participated consistently and meaningfully during these visits. Honorable Chair, in the rollout, the key stakeholders that participated in these visits to these municipalities and provinces are the National Departments of Energy, Water Affairs, Public Works, Economic Development, Human Settlements, Rural Development and Land Reform, and lastly, Environmental Affairs. The heads of provincial COCTA departments also participated, provincial sector departments also participated, and provincial local government turnaround strategy coordinators. Municipal managers of district and local municipalities, the COCTA technical support units based in the branch, in the provinces, and the COCTA branch representative from the national office in Tshwane. SALGA National and SALGA Provincial Executive Officers and MISA deployees. Chair, in the Eastern Cape, 19 municipalities have been identified. 16 of those municipalities, of the 19 municipalities, are part of MISA. In the Free State, 10 municipalities have been identified, and 4 of the 10 municipalities form part of MISA. In Gauteng, 5 municipalities were identified. 2 of those are part of MISA. They are identified for a specific focus in accelerating local government turnaround. The five priorities issues that of acceleration of services and anti-corruption. These are the focus where these municipalities have been identified. In Limpopo, Chairperson, there is 12 municipalities, 11 of those fall under MISA. KwaZulu-Natal, there is 23 municipalities identified, all of them are part of the MISA project. And Mpumalanga, there is 9 municipalities, 8 of those fall under MISA. In Northern Cape, 13, 7 of those fall under MISA. In Northwest, 8 municipalities, 4 of which are part of MISA. And in the Western Cape, 5 of those municipalities fall within MISA. All in all, of the 88 MISA focus projects, 81 of them fall within this specific targeted municipalities. In terms of ongoing performance, Honorable Chairperson, the local government turnaround team will provide the hands-on support on provincial Cocktail Department in supporting municipalities to implement municipal turnaround strategies. And MISA has been finally proclaimed and established as part of the implementation of the pre-2011 priorities in terms of the approved turnaround strategy in 2009. And Operation Clean Audit by 2014 is also in progress. The above is in line with addressing the coordination challenges and strengthening cross-departmental initiatives and programs in line with the Outcome 9 delivery agreement between the President and the Minister. Thank you, Chairperson. My other colleagues are then going to be giving the full details in terms of the next presentation. Thank you, sir.
Next presentation. What criteria do you use to identify these municipalities? And once identified, what makes others to be in this MISA program and others not?
Chairperson, the identification was mainly around the lack of expenditure in terms of the money that were given to these municipalities. Many of the municipalities identified did not have the necessary support in terms of skills, and therefore MISA did a diagnostic assessment where it was established that many of them needed support. And the provinces and the national department decided that these municipalities need a special focus for them to be able to spend the money that they were given. And you'd realize that those municipalities sort of share the same characteristics when you look at MISA and Operation Clean Audit. There are issues in those specific municipalities that needs to be given attention.
Yeah, but what I wanted to understand is, other than just, because it could be easy to identify municipalities that were underspending. And certainly you can't just look into that and conclude that because this one cannot spend, they need to be given a special focus. Because you do have those that have spent, but they have spent for things that are not even part of their plans and stuff like. And they still have got challenges with regard to management of their funds. And as I'm asking as to, this diagnostic report, can we have a copy, please?
Yes, sir. I will check the MISA.
Thanks, Chair. We have a diagnostic report for each and every municipality that we have prioritized, and we can make those reports available to the Chair.
Okay, you may proceed with your...
I'll quickly run with this presentation on the progress report on the Operation Clean Audit. In terms of the outline of the presentation, what it will have is a little background, which will also include background on Operation Clean Audit. Then we'll talk about the audit outcomes in the context of the 3 years of government. Then we'll also talk about the observations of the Auditor General of South Africa emanating from the General Consolidated Report on Local Government for the 2010.
is how it will look. By way of introduction, we hereby present to the Select Committee on Appropriation, a comparative state of municipalities on the audit outcomes for the financial years 2010-2011, 2009-2010, and 2008-2009 municipal financial years, with a view to allow the committee to get progress update towards the movement towards 2014 target. We also submit for the committee to note too the state of the performance by provincial and national departments, which will also include the national parliament and the 9 provincial legislatures. We also present the consolidated, this thing which we have here, actually, it should not be here, there is a mistake here. This we do as we analyze how big the challenge is and how much we have to do in mobilizing all actors to work together in the spirit of cooperative governance to turn the situation around with the aim of achieving the local government turnaround strategies to aims, namely to build confidence between the people and the government and build a model municipality characterized by the ability to provide quality services, uphold good governance, enhance sound financial management, roll out and maintain infrastructure, as well as fight corruption effectively. By way of background on the Operation Clean Audit itself, audit outcomes are the measures which the Auditor General uses in order for us to get to an understanding of the state of the state of financial management in all 3 spheres of government. The picture of performance should be viewed against the background that government has set a target in terms of one of the turnaround strategies, namely Operation Clean Audit, directing as follows, that in terms of the 2010-2011 municipal financial year, that no municipality should achieve a disclaimer or adverse opinion, that at least 60% of the 278 municipalities should have received unqualified opinion by 2011-2012, that municipalities achieving unqualified audit opinion should increase to 75% by 2013, and that all municipalities shall achieve a clean audit opinion by 2014. These targets are the same for the provincial departments as well. The department has also provided information on the state of performance by municipalities in terms of which it is indicated as to which municipalities in terms of which it is indicated as to which municipality in a particular province received a clean audit, unqualified audit opinion, those which were qualified, those which received either adverse or disclaimer audit opinion, with the understanding that the quick description of these particular items is as outlined there by way of bullet points. Now, in terms of the next slide, that is the audit outcomes. The details of the audit outcomes are, first, the 3-year comparison for municipalities, which honorable members will have to refer to Annex A, which I hope by now it should have been distributed. However, it must be noted that this is the status quo as of the 27th of July 2012, based on the existing 278 municipalities, which means that any municipalities which has been disestablished have not been included in that comparative analysis in terms of Annex A. Because as honorable members will recall, we used to have 283 municipalities which have been scaled down to 278. So we're just looking over that 3-year time horizon in terms of those which are existing at the moment. And one other thing, the reason we are saying is as of the 27th of July, is just to con- contextualize it in terms of the general consolidated local government report which the Auditor General South Africa has already introduced, because the information which we give provides some of the status updates since the information as captured in that particular report. Secondly, the three-year comparison for provincial departments and provincial legislatures, national departments and national parliament are also indicated in Annex Chapter. Now, in terms of those annexures, if honorable members were to look at Annex A, it will, which indicate the status regarding local government, which is a web document which we have attached, it will give a breakdown per province, starting with the Eastern Cape and ending with the Western Cape, as to, for those three municipal financial year, what was the performance of each municipality. And if one looks at it from 2008-09 municipal financial year going to 2009-10 financial year up to 2010-2011, one will get an indicative as to whether that municipality has been more or less at the same level, or it has made improvements, or there were some changes which were up and down. For example, if you look at the Eastern Cape in terms of the Nelson Mandela Metro, which is on page one of that annexure one, it will indicate that that particular municipality consistently through those three municipal financial years, it has been receiving financial unqualified audit opinions. Then some of them, like for example, Amatole District, whereas for the two first years it was qualified, it was able to make strides to move to the category of to be financially unqualified. So that is how those this comparison goes and starts making those indications. And again, in terms of the those targets we talked about, for example, when we said that for the 2010-2011, which is the year under review which we are talking about, that there should be no municipality which should have received either an adverse audit opinion or a disclaimer, then again one will see which are those municipalities which have not been able to meet that particular target. For example, if one looks at the Eastern Cape, if one count them, you'll find that it's 19 of them. So out of the 45 municipalities in the Eastern Cape, you'll find that 19 of them are not yet there. However, if one was to go to Gauteng, you'll find that out of those 12 municipalities, none of them falls into that category, indicating that in terms of Gauteng, we have made some strides. So that is how those tables go, and it's the same for the other annexure which I won't get into, which deals with the provincial departments as well as national departments, and we're just doing this so in order to enable Parliament to get a sense, if you look at this particular to all these three spheres of government as to how the performance has been. Now, in terms of some of the, which is slide number 8, the observations which comes from the General Consolidated Local Government Report by Auditor General South Africa, these are some of the root causes which comes out of there. Those first three bullets, they come straightforward there. That one of the issues, so these are some of the issues which if they get addressed to some extent, it may assist in improving the audit outcomes of municipalities. The first one being that the key officials in municipalities lack minimum competencies and skills. Secondly, one of the areas of concern again is lack of consequences for poor performance and transgression. The third being a slow response to the AGS messages and not taking ownership of key control. So those are the three highlights which are coming out as being some of the underpinning reasons behind the progress. However, again, one of the issues, because if you look at the rules in terms of the internal controls, it will mainly talk to issues mainly around leadership and governance. But critically, if one looks at it in terms of the movements towards clean audit, then there is also the issue of non-compliance with laws and regulations and non-reporting of performance information. So those are, in an executive summarized version, the main critical root causes. In terms of priority actions for responding to these municipal audit outcomes, the department has started a process of intensive engagement with municipalities to understand their root causes to performance linked to the five LG TAS priority areas, as my colleague Mr. Seitisho has already presented as to those five priority areas. In this regard, the department has engaged with three municipalities, namely Mamusa local municipality in the northwest, Emadageni local municipality in KwaZulu-Natal, and Enhlanzeni district municipality in Mpumalanga, which shared their lessons to the department as well as the local government min-max, that is for all nine provinces together with national. In terms of Mamusa, part of the reasons we wanted the mayor to explain what has been happening there is because for the past three municipal financial years, that is a municipality which in terms of submission of the annual financial statements to the Auditor General of South Africa, those have been outstanding. And in terms of when you look at some of the things which have been happening in that municipality as articulated by the Honorable Mayor, then you start seeing the interlinkages between issues around those five priorities areas of LGTAS. Because, for example, for that particular municipality, within 5 years, it had five mayors. So that starts saying something about issues around political stability, underpinning some of issues there and governance issues. Again, within that 5 years, it had four chief financial officers. And it had, within that 5 years, three municipal managers. So if you look at all the things which have been happening there, in order to understand some of those challenges, it starts also talking to issues around governance and all those things. So you can't simply look at one particular area without looking at the whole. And part of the reasons we wanted to get some of this understanding is in order, like we said, to get some of the things behind the things so that despite the actions which national government and provinces have been taking, but in order to get those lessons so that when we tackle some of those municipalities which up to now are in terms of the annual financial statement or financial health as well, they are still qualified or they got disclaimers and adverts. And that picture of Mamusa, it may to some extent be replicated for some of those municipalities, but which we can't preempt some of the engagement which we'll have to do. The second municipality which was also invited is Emadlangeni local municipality in KZN, which made significant strides from being in the 2009-10 financial year, moving from being qualified, jumping financial and qualified to clean audit, which it was a huge stride to understand from the mayor as well as to what are some of the things behind that particular shift. The last one and the third, it was Enhlanzeni District Municipality in Mpumalanga, which for the two consecutive municipal financial years, that is 2009 and 10, as well as 2010-11 municipal financial year, has been able to sustain its clean audit performance. And part of the reason we wanted to get a feel of it is what is it which has been responsible for this particular municipality to sustain. sustain that good performance, because some of those municipalities which over the years they have been performing well, some to some extent have regressed. And one of the things which was coming out as being behind this is the issue of in-house capacity to a greater extent in terms of how that municipality conducts its business, in the sense that you don't have a reliance on consultants. So in terms of its capacity, to a greater extent, it has got that capacity, which is also assisting in terms of that district municipality, also assisting some of the local municipalities within that particular district. So this is what has happened. And the intention is for the department to engage, like I have said, with all those municipalities which have either obtained a disclaimer or adverse audit opinion, or those which were qualified. And that process we anticipated to be completed over the next 3 months. So the issue is for all these municipalities to receive that intensive engagement, so that in order to contextualize some of the support measures which are taking place, whether it's by provinces or nationally, or both DCOG and the National Treasury, in order to see whether we are adequately responding to some of the issues which are behind these particular issues. By way of conclusion, the department is committed working with all stakeholders, both at national and provincial, to continue implementing measures aimed at building a responsible, accountable, effective, and efficient local government system. Thanks.
Thank you, honorable members. You can raise your questions. What I did not hear in your report is where we are now. Where are we now with regard to those objectives of the turnaround strategy? Your assessment and analysis in terms of whether we are achieving those goals supposed to have already kicked in. Out of this year's results, that is 2010-11, we were expecting no disclaimers from any of the municipalities. Now, you are not telling us as to how far are we. I chose to be lazy on that one, because you can say the information provided, I can count. I don't have to count for myself how many got the disclaimers and how many not. The issue is that all municipalities were not supposed to receive disclaimers in terms of this plan. And if that is the case, it therefore follows that there were measures that were put into place prior that particular financial year to make sure that this is achievable. Now, it has not been achieved. To what extent and what are the reasons? I hear you saying you are going to municipalities to understand the root causes. And the root causes have been tabled by the AG. And those root causes, to be quite honest, they go as far back as 2008-09. Still the same issues that the AG has been raising. So there's no need for anybody to go and say, I want to understand why these root causes, except to say, to assess the measures that you have put into place as to whether they are working or not, and where there should be improvement. And that doing it jointly with the National Treasury, as they assist with the responsibility of assisting in terms of financial management. But this whole, the coordination of the whole project resides with the department. We need to be knowing now as to whether the outcome of the audit that is coming. currently underway will reach a stage where we say 60% of all these municipalities receive unqualified audit. Because I think those were the steps that we had to measure ourselves as to whether we'll be on target come 2014. But your presentation don't talk on those particular things. I'm not sure if you are in a position to reflect on those, if that information is somewhere else, but it was not part of the slides. But from where I'm seated, this presentation does not give me a picture of where we are going. What is it that you are doing as a department? Have you checked the number of all those municipalities that have formally adopted plans to address the AG's concerns? Do they have capacity to address those particular concerns? Are the leaders there providing leadership? Because that is one of the concerns of the AG. All those things, surely your presentation as Parliament should be giving us the comfort of saying we are doing something about this thing, as opposed to these other things that you are saying you are engaging with. But have you analyzed the situation in terms of the plan to date, and if so, what is the state of affairs? Give us a picture. Give us a picture, because you see why I'm raising this thing. Now, instead of people beginning to say we suppose not to have municipalities that have got disclaimer, you hear people making noise about over-regulation, people making noise about whether international standards on unqualified audit opinion is what we have set as a target or what the municipalities, those few, have achieved. And next year, we should be now saying, have we achieved 60% of unqualified results in these municipalities? And then what is it that we are doing to make sure that come 2014, we have reached that, come 2013, we are at 75%, come 2014, we are all now having unqualified. So your department is seized with the responsibility to coordinate all this. What have you done to that? Give us a picture.
Okay, thanks, Chairperson. I will try to respond to some of the issues which you have raised. In terms of the picture which you want to get an understanding without you having to refer to the detailed annexures which we have provided, if you were to look at the picture nationally, in terms of those municipalities which have received clean audit, we are at 5%. Then in terms of those which financially are unqualified with findings, so that is there are issues pertaining either to predetermined objectives or performance information or concerns relating to compliance with laws and regulations, we are at 41%. And if you add those two, then it will tell you that from the financial perspective, those which are doing well, it takes us to about 46% at this, in terms of the 2010-2011 municipal financial year. In terms of those which were qualified, it's 20% of the total. In terms of those which received adverse opinions, which as we outlined that in terms of our targets, we should be having zero, is 5% instead of that 0%. In terms of those which were disclaimed, that is, so they got the disclaimers, which in terms of the target, it should have been zero, is 23%. Then again, the other issue is, as of the 27th of July, there were about 6% of the municipalities whose audits were not yet issued. And part of that was pertaining to the issue of, to a larger extent, those municipalities not having submitted their annual financial statements to the Auditor General timely. And those constitute about 6%. And out of that 6%, by the 27th of July, 3% of those, the annual financial statements which translate into 8 municipalities, the annual financial statements were not yet submitted to the AG, to the Auditor General. But in terms of support measures to ensure that those outstanding annual financial statements for the 2010-2011, they get addressed, there have been measures which have been put in place for those 8 municipalities, which one is in the Free State, one is in the Northern Cape, and the other 6 is in the Northwest. So measures have been put in place there for those municipalities to get to compile those. But in terms of the various activities which provinces are embarking upon, they were also taking into account when one deals with the 2010-2011 in terms of those issues which were raised in the audit outcomes, also to ensure that some of those measures also start assisting in dealing with the 2011-2012 municipal financial year, which is what the AG will be embarking upon in order to come with the audit outcomes for the next financial year. In terms of some of the issues, like you correctly outlined, which are behind some of the things which have to be addressed, it includes, like, for example, if you talk about to the slow response to the Auditor General of South Africa's messages, is issues as to how timely municipalities start taking ownerships in terms of dealing with the issues which have been raised of concern by way of developing the municipal audit remedial action plans to address those issues of concern. And in terms of that, close to about 89% of those municipalities by the 20th of July 2012, they already had audit remedial action plans to address some of those issues. And if you look at it in terms of 89, contextualizing it with a statement which I said that about 6% of those municipalities, the audit outcomes have not, the audit outcomes have not yet been issued, then it shows that there is a little bit of seriousness which has been taken into for municipalities, and when they deal with these audit remedial action plans, the provinces, including the offices of the AGS in the provinces, are involved at looking at those particular plans. And already, like I outlined, that we engaged with the, when we're engaging with those 3 municipalities in the context of the local government MINMEC on the 16th of August, all the 9 provinces have indicated that they got coordinating structures in all the provinces, so that is what the MECs were confirming, that in order to coordinate the support with the provincial COCTAs, provincial treasuries, and other stakeholders, including SALGA are doing, with the news, so that there is that particular report, and those structures move all the way up to the premier coordinating committees. And to a greater extent, given the seriousness around the issues of audit outcomes, in most of these structures, the issues of improvement audit outcomes is one of the outstanding agenda items in all these structures, mainly up to the premier's coordinating forum. So those is the level of seriousness which the government is starting to take the thing, so that they know what is happening with all these particular issues. Like, we have stated some of the things which relates to, which are behind some of these issues, like around root causes. It also have to deal with the issues, for example, the issues of governance structures. One of the measures which we started championing as a national government together with provinces is around the issues of for municipalities to establish municipal public accounts committees, which will have to be permanent for the duration of the term of the sitting council. And in that regard, about 84% of municipalities as of July, they had this municipal public account committee. So if you look at it from the time we had the local government elections, because whatever oversight committees that they had in place dissolved on the days of the local government elections. Now we have made some significant strides because we got close to about 84%, and some of those which have not yet been there, there is a push for them to get there. And again, it attaches on things like, for example, the audit committees, which also have to be, municipalities have to appoint them in place. As of March last year, already about 91% of municipalities had those audit committees in place. And it also includes issues like around internal audit units in municipalities, because those is also part of the interface. And already about close to, by end of March, close to about 79% of municipalities were getting there. But also they will also have to take into account that in terms of the Municipal Finance Management Act, it allows municipalities to outsource if there are issues of capacity. So it's not something which is totally mandatory that each municipality should have an internal audit unit. So there are issues of capacity. So those are some of the measures. And like I said, some of the things which as a department we are working on are some of the issues which will assist us to, in terms of the measures which we are working on, to deal with some of the issues that include the issues of us having to implement the Municipal Systems Act as amended. And also linked to those is our move towards dealing with the issues of regulations which underpin the implementations of those measures. So those are some of the things which are happening. And again, when you come to the issues of the deployments of the finance experts to the municipalities, again, and that is done by the National Treasury through the Municipal Finance Improvement Grant. Already where we are, about close to about 79 municipalities, they have those finance experts being deployed to those particular municipalities. Again, like I said, that when you look at the issues of these five LGTAS priority areas, their linkages, it also links up with the issues of what the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency is supposed to do. Because if you look at, there is an interface, if you look, for example, in terms of issues which relates to the issues like around your CRAP 17 related matters, you will need your finance units and your technical or your engineering services to be working there. So some of the deployments which the department through MISA has to make, it also adds into those particular thrust as well. And if you look at it in those contexts, if you look at those measures as well, it also deals with some of the issues which have been of concern in terms of the audit outcomes, for example, issues like the poor spending on some of the grants, which are related to issues like planning and all those related things. And those are the areas where MISA, in terms of the deployments and all, it will also have to come. So if you look at it from all those various streams, all these measures, when they come together, they start going somewhere in tackling the challenge. So those are some of the things which I can say in responding to some of the issues you have been rightly been raising. Thanks. I don't know if my colleagues, in particular, including Bulelo, if there is some other things which they would like to add.
Chairperson, thank you, and thank you for the department for the response to the TV. Political leadership is not here. Taking us back to a meeting in the old assembly chamber in the EVE 249, where Deputy Minister Karim appeared before this committee. Question to the department, looking at your provincial department, now you must be honest with this committee. the capacity, the warm bodies, to implement her strategy in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution? Do you have that capacity in the provinces, in the different regions? Looking at a vast province like the Northern Cape, Northwest, Eastern Cape, Free State in a sense. The other point is, in terms of the MFMA, non-compliance, and I'm not going to quote the MFMA, it will take some time. What actions are taken when officials in departments, and that's the National Treasury as well, after several workshops have been conducted the past few years, are still not complying in terms of the prescriptions of the MFMA? Referring to mayors, because the mayor has a role. The accounting officer, the MM, the CFO, and senior managers. Because we still see letters from National Treasury, Mr. Jan Hartung, being delivered to municipalities, you are not complying in terms of A, B, C, D. Point example is Kamiesberg Municipality in the Northern Cape, situated in Garies. I've just signed a letter off to the mayor. What is the department doing in cases like that? It is good to get a presentation like this. But what's happening at grassroots level? In the Northwest, there's a regression. In the Northern Cape, stagnation. We see what you want to do, but can you do it? Have you got the people to do it? That's the point. Other question, Chairperson. Going back into the history to the late former minister, Chicheko, told Parliament in 2010 an audit will be done on the qualifications of municipal managers, CFOs, etc., senior managers in municipalities. Until today, we haven't seen that audit. We haven't seen it. We asked the same to the Limpopo administration the last week in March, because we are dealing with that intervention, the Select Committee of Finance. It's one thing to come and give us this type of presentation. I know what you want to do. But what's actually physically happening at grassroots level. That is the point. Are you checking with each municipality? Do they have a program? Council meets the people in terms of accountability as stated in the MFMA. Are you doing that? Have you got a checklist for 283 municipalities? Bring that checklist to the committee. If we want to get to the clean audit in 2014, gentlemen, a good lady there, you will have to tighten the grip and do it very fast. The last thing, Honourable Chair, and it's got nothing to do with the topic of this meeting, but I want the gentleman from the ministry just to write it down and can give me a written response. The gratuity of non-returning councillors prior to 2011. What's happening there? Because it got stuck at SAS. We've been getting calls 11, 12 o'clock at night. When are we getting our gratuity? So just note it down. You can give that response to my office. Please. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Your remark when we started, when you started giving us time to ask questions, we have covered everything, and then followed by Honorable De Beer. And my question is, you know, it's very much pathetic. One day I was sitting watching a boxing between myself and Warren. I'm sure he died in the ring. The coach used to say, Nyamazelman. Can you say that now? You can't reach clean audit by 2014, you can't. You better throw a towel and tell us that no, you are coming out with a new strategy. Because it was the wish of the minister to have a clean audit by 2014. But there is no will from the implementers yourselves. Nothing at all. Okay, just go to your list, this list here. Corporate Gov, this list here. Where you find this one, Mamusa. Mamusa. Annual financial statement outstanding right through from 2010, 2011. You know, nothing like this. What are you doing? You were telling us, you say, you know, okay, in the Eastern Cape, out of 19 of them, they are not there. Where are they? You are telling us they are not there. Where are they? And you also said, lack of competence and skill. What are you doing about this thing? That was not the time of telling us those things. You should have, as Honorable De Beer and the Chairperson said, you should have come out and said, no, this time I was expecting to see a lot of greed here by 2013, 2012, 2013 here. I'm telling you, man, I'm supposed to get 5 pages here, green, to, man, to show that you are there. Can you explain to us when you said 5% of your clean audit, but, you know, to tell me that, no, on 2013, 2014, if you are having 5% now, it means you're going to get another 5%, it will be 10. You won't reach that thing. Nyamazel, man, that boxer who died, simply killing a mess. It's pathetic, really. It's not laughable. Do something. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Unfortunately, of course, is that I arrived late. I'm not sure whether it has been clear the position of the gentleman that was presenting. Is what responsibilities does he have? I think I lack that information. But nevertheless, I'm just taking for granted that it's either the DG or sent by the DG. And doing the work on behalf of the DG. Chair, page 4 of your presentation, Chief. Your blood safe here. Page 4 says, this we do as we analyze how big the challenge is and how much we have to do in mobilizing all actors to work together in the spirit of cooperative governance to turn the situation around with the aim of achieving local government turnaround strategies. Two aims. That is what we are doing today, 2012. You see, in 2012. This is what you are. You are doing the analysis today to establish the veracity of the problem in order to influence you to mobilize today, 2012.
aware of the extent of the challenge as well. 2012, Chief. He still wants this to inform you in order to mobilize all what is required to deal with this turnaround strategy. That's where my problem starts, actually, with you. That's where my problem starts. One was of the opinion that since 2009, we are aware and we know what it entails and what we need to do. And like as Honorable De Beer has indicated, supposed to have actually established a checklist by now and said ticking that no, this has been achieved, this has been achieved, this has been achieved, this we are working on. But this page 4, it is telling a totally different story of people still seeking to know what they have to do and how much work they have and still thinking to still mobilize resources. And these audit outcomes, I have heard a report, I think, to the questions that the chairperson has put painting a picture of progress that is being made. But quite a good number of municipalities are regressing. They are in the reverse gear. Quite a good number of municipalities. They are in the reverse gear. And some of them have been in the reverse gear for the past couple of years. Some have reversed from the previous year to this last year. They got a better audit outcome the previous 2009 and 10. They got a better audit outcome. But with this one of 2010-2011, they've put in a reverse gear. Others have been in the reverse gear for the past 3 years. What then informs you to talk about any progress towards achieving clean audit 2014 when you have got this particular pattern unfolding in front of you? You're raising the issue of MPACs, and possibly you are raising it as a measure that will assist us in moving towards clean audit 2014. MPACs, Chair. Ordinary councillors put together in a particular committee. And then what if you have got municipalities that refuse to listen to the internal auditor, refuse to listen to the audit committee, refuse to listen to the Auditor General, what informs you that they will listen to MPEG? As a thing that maybe you can project as a step that will assist us towards clean audit 2014. What convinces you that that particular committee of a group of councillors who may not be appropriately qualified for that particular action or activity will then take us towards where you want us to go? When people that are properly qualified as audit committee members are not listened to, properly qualified, make sound judgment on their work, they are not listened to. Then we've got a group of councillors who may not even understanding exactly what they're supposed to do as MPEG members. What do you think they will make any progress assisting us moving forward? Now, the other thing is, we're sitting with municipalities, that are section 139. Why should a municipality go to section 139 when you are, when you do exist as a department and with your provincial department? Given the Municipal Finance Management Act that actually stipulates that certain reports on a monthly basis have to be produced and submitted to higher structures in the department for analysis and responses, then these municipalities at the end of the day, they cannot submit annual financial statements when they're actually supposed to be drafting these things almost on a monthly basis. In other ways, is that the department that is actually overseeing these municipalities and receiving these annual reports from these municipalities should actually be aware of the situation in those municipalities as the year progresses, whether this municipality is going to be able to produce annual financial statements. You will be knowing by the 9th month, even before 12 months elapses, that there is a problem there. Now you get a report here that says National Treasury is busy trying to do annual financial statement of a municipality after the fact. What is the point then of these municipalities to produce monthly reports, Section 71 reports? Who is looking at these reports? What are we doing with these reports? In terms of Section 154 of the Constitution, what are you doing? Then, it begs this question that Honorable De Pierre has actually raised. Do you have capacity? Do you have warm bodies to really actually work on these particular matters that you have to work on? Now, with this report of the Auditor General, are we having any sort of a crack team? You see, in the report you have said you are going to engage these municipalities. Of course, is that what is entailed in your engagements? What is in this engagement? Are we talking about people that are actually a sort of a crack team that is going to make things happen, that's going to demand each and every municipality to present in front of you their action plan, how they're going to deal with the Auditor General's findings? Or are we just simply going to run around the municipalities and entertain them and ask them to have these municipalities to actually procure some food on tenders for you to eat and celebrate in these municipalities as having visited the mayor? Or are we going to crack the whip? Because surely one understands that when an audit comes and an annual report, then these things must go to council. Council must pronounce itself on how they are actually going to deal with challenges that are there in the municipalities. But the problem is that these things, they don't happen. Certain municipalities, they go over for 6 months without even having resolved on how they are going to deal with the Auditor General's findings. Even the annual financial statement, they're actually not being presented to council for many weeks and months. And others go even to an extent of putting an inquiry and pay money to outside service providers to investigate, produce a report, and the report gets cancelled. And on the finances, the Department of Cooperative Governance and Finance, you see on their annual financial statements or whatever, they show that they have paid a service provider for investigation. Then you are happy that no money has been paid, it has been correct. But the output, we don't worry about it. It sits for 3 years, doesn't even find its way to the council. It doesn't find any implementation. Your department says nothing. It says nothing. says nothing. Now, Chairperson, maybe the last issue to be raised. We know that the cooperative governance from province as well as national, you really make an input on the appointment of the municipal manager. You are involved. Before a municipal manager is appointed, there is communication with the provincial department of Cork. But now the question is, are you really applying your mind? Because really mediocre people are appointed as municipal managers that really do not understand what needs to happen. We had a municipal manager from Mohale City just last week. Mohale City, I think. This municipal manager is celebrating as an achievement because the municipality did not produce annual financial statements. Now he can produce annual financial statements, even if they mean nothing. He expects us to celebrate that now, in his term as a municipal manager, he is able to produce annual financial statements and submit. Even when those annual financial statements do not present the correct picture that is required, it's not getting a better audit outcome. Just simply to produce that pack of documentation, he feels he's achieving a lot. When we expect clean audit, now that reflects the kind of people that we appoint and the actual expectation that is put on the individual as a municipal manager, that when you take this particular position, this is what is expected of you. And then we get that kind of arrogance that we have been receiving last week from that kind of municipal manager. Arrogance, chief. Honestly, from a municipal manager employed. So, I'm not sure whatever plans or things that we want to do here, when it comes to human resources in the municipalities, whether you believe that you have got authority and power over them to actually achieve what you are saying you want to do. What powers do you have over the mayor? What powers do you have over the mayoral committee? What powers do you have over the premier, the MEC for cooperative governance in the provinces? What powers do you have? Because all those people, their activities are the ones that are actually scuttling progress towards clean audit. If you've got no answer for those things, and then you rely on administrative things here and steps, then we are missing the boat. Because really we have to deal with people. We have to deal with people because the laws are there, structures are there, operational systems are there. We have got people that are flouting the rules, flouting the steps. Are you getting an upper hand over them? On the mayors, the mayoral committees, the premiers, the MECs, the people that are giving instructions, and the people that are supposed to act on ill discipline and non-compliance. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chair, I'm not going to give you a presentation, but I want a few worries to list. I'd like to support the chairman and Mr. De Beer. And I'm also worried about where are we going? Are we moving forward or are we sinking down in a big mud pool? And my problem is the implementation of everything you said over here. If you go, I've got the observations of AXA, and that is a good summary of what is going on, all the problems in the whole situation. But nothing happened. Nothing happened about these things. I can give you practical examples. The metro of Tshwane and the metro of Joburg refused to meet this committee last week because they're too busy. They can't come and they are receiving a lot of money. I'll take you to Oudtshoorn. Oudtshoorn had about 3 MMs the last year, 2 or 3 CFOs. The last appointment of MM, one of the applicants took it to court, and the High Court decided that he's not capable or he can't do the job. But the mayor decided, no, you can go ahead. And Friday they're going to have a meeting, and he will be there sitting in front and doing the job. So I'm asking, who has got the power to implement these things you are talking about? Who's got the power to that this can be executed? Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Majid, I think you are the person with better authority to reply to some of those questions.
Chairperson, thank you. Let's engage the first question about where and do we have the capacity? Is there capacity in the provinces to execute? There's very limited capacity in the provinces to execute. That is the truth. You know it. We know it. Our approach and our strategy has been in working much more closely with our provincial departments of local government, so that we can intensify the particular support plans that need to be rolled out and actioned. For example, from the LGTAS team, they've just recently completed a fresh round of engagement with all provincial departments, with all that 108 municipalities to develop and sign off very specific action plans that need to happen, that what will the province do specifically, where does the capacity exist within the province to execute those plans, what is it that national sector departments will need to bring to the party, what will national department do itself, what will treasury do itself, and so on. So that has taken shape, Chairperson. So it's about, there's a very vibrant monitoring structure that's been put in place to oversee that, so that we don't lose momentum again on the rollout of these plans, because one of the challenges of the past has been, and the very important point that the honourable members made, if we look at the intensity of our interventions, if we're saying bold and strategic, you know, goals have been set 2009, 3 years later, where are we at? So, you know, we need to be in a more high-intensity stage and phase right now rather than just, you know, more analysis. So we take that point. And, you know, the big theme that's standing out for me around, you know, tighten our grip and doing it very fast in order to move closer to the 2014 goal. So that is certainly a big takeout. In terms of further intensifying our actions around capacity, from the recent MINMEC that was my colleague referred to in August, where the minister held each and every MEC to account and the municipalities that were in the room to say, what exactly are you doing? Give us the detail and the specifics of your ordered follow-up action plans, and for us to then, you know, intensely monitor that. We know there are some limitations with the kind of monitoring that we need to have, the point that is made about the detail of the checklist that need to exist, and we need to do better on that front. Our overall monitoring capability is not nuanced to that extent, and that is a weakness that we must fill in ourselves institutionally. In terms of following up and holding MECs to account for the performance of provinces, provincial departments of local government, that's squarely on the radar right now, and the minister is spending a lot of energy around that and making sure that the quality of the reports coming through gives us a much more nuanced sense of where's the pulse, where's the issues that we would need to follow through on. The point around who's got the power, who's dealing with this non-compliance and this flagrant disregard for the law. I want to specifically speak now to the caliber of appointments that's being made and how are we using the legislative authority that the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs has in terms of the Municipal Systems Act to not just regulate, but to compel compliance with the legislation of our country. In that is where the minister is the specific custodian. We know that in July last year, the Municipal Systems Amendment Act ushered in a very important and fundamental change in how we want to deal with regulate, how we want to ensure with better quality appointments and the kinds of competence and qualifications that municipal managers and managers reporting to municipal managers must have. That piece of legislation passed through yourselves as Parliament, and we are in the process of finalizing the regulation. In implementing the Act, what we are doing already, in terms of compliance with the Act, we have MECs must be informed by the municipality within 14 days after the municipality has appointed a municipal manager. They need to comply with giving a whole list of information to each MEC in that province to say, here's the panel that's shortlisted, these are all the people that have applied, these are all their qualifications, these are the people that were shortlisted, this is the panel that has interviewed them, this is the recommended candidate, and for these reasons, this is competency assessments if it has been done. It's not mandatory in terms of the Act to do competency assessments. But this is the advert that has been placed nationally. This is the date on which the advert has been placed and for how long it ran. And this is the pool of candidates from wherever they might have applied. These are the candidates that were disqualified because they did not meet the minimum standards. And, you know, being very, the advert must state all the minimum standards that must be complied with. The MEC then has the duty to look at all of that, to look at whether the process have been strictly in terms of the legislation, whether the recommended candidate indeed complies, you know, with all the requirements, and for the MEC then to agree with the municipality to say that, yes, you have complied with the Act, your recommendation is in line with the Act, and therefore I support the appointment of this municipal manager, of this CFO, or so on. Or I don't agree with your recommended appointment because you have not complied with this aspect of the Act, or this, or that, or the other. We have tightened up
some of the gaps that we've seen with NDCs where there has not been as strict an adherence. For example, we are pleased about the intensity that MECs have been given, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, where the MEC has been pretty strict and consistent with challenging some of the poor quality appointments and have sent it back, and where there's some legal action that's been engaged. We have a case here in the Western Cape as well that the, you know, the Honourable Member have referred to in terms of the Oudtshoorn matter, and there's another potential matter. So that is something where we are spending a lot of energy on, and with the regulations that should be coming out for comment very soon, our ministry is expected to sign off on the regulations very soon for public comment, and then to bring it through the parliamentary process as is required, so that we can have the regulations in place, you know, within the next few months. That is the schedule that we are working on. I just want to refer to my note here to see for one of the other comments. In terms of cracking the whip and taking on a much tougher stance around non-compliance, I would like to invite our colleagues from Treasury as well if there's any further comments in terms of the custodian regarding the Municipal Finance Management Act. Now, we know we are in partnering our National Treasury. Our minister have an important responsibility, and there's some joint efforts around the regulations that Treasury is in the process of issuing around dealing with some of the disciplinary matters and compliance issues. But Treasury would be best to be able to speak to that. Let me just say one or two more things very quickly, Chairperson. There's a lot more that we can do and we must do around cracking the whip and using our legislative authority to the full. And this is where we would want to, you know, go and take this feedback to our political principal and particularly look at, you know, more strengthened ways of how we can enforce our legislation much more strictly. And I think the partnership between our MECs and our minister that has, you know, been taken to a new level, there's more room for that to enforce the kind of compliance. So a short answer, who's got the authority, who's got the power? There's a lot of power and authority vested in the legislation that we do have. And sometimes we're failing our own legislation to not execute and implementing it to the full letter of the law. Right, and having the capacity to match that is an area of a gap, Chairperson. Let me pause for the Chair and invite my colleague from Treasury to add if they would like to, or any other comments from our team.
Well, thanks, ma'am. I'm just worried that. I welcome all these comments that have been presented, but I'm a bit worried that it would seem that little is happening from the department side in terms of at least pushing us forward to either achieve or be at a higher percentage come 2014 in terms of those municipalities that would have reached unclean audit. For an example, if you look into your report now, under priority actions for responding to municipal audit outcome, it's only two things that your report says you are doing. One, you want to understand the root causes. And in that regard, you have only met three municipalities to date. Two, you're still going to engage with all those municipalities that have received disclaimer. So those are the two priorities in terms of your report that you are going to be doing as a department.
which to me means nothing. You see, you are a national department, really. You are not a municipal department. A national department that pushes a specific agenda. And now you are faced with the challenges, and you can only do two things. Meet and engage, that's all. And meet just to understand, that's it. I'm sure there are a lot of other things that you are doing. I'm not sure if the person who was preparing this presentation was lazy to write, or this represents the picture, but I will assume, because it's a presentation you made here, is what you are doing as a department. And that being the case, I'm quite disappointed, personally. I was not expecting this kind of situation from this department. Understanding the role and the responsibility of this department, particularly looking back as to where you come from after the adoption of this turnaround strategy. What disturbs me further is the fact that we have been around the country meeting with municipalities. Some of the things that are happening in these municipalities are shocking. The AG complains about capacity. He complains about competencies with regard to those employed. You see, 70% of all those employed lacks adequate competencies and skills. Now, out of 278 municipalities, we've got only 197 municipal managers. You have the remainder as vacancies. Out of 278, we've got 176 CFOs. The remainder is vacancies. And we more often than not hear the municipalities or the AG complaining that at the time of audit, no senior people were available to assist with this and that and that. That also leads to the employment of consultants who are doing nothing than to milk these municipalities. By your own admission, your provincial departments are weak. I wonder what it is that they report to these guys, these MECs, when you meet during the min-max. I know I should be talking these things to the minister, but you will convey. Because how are they expected to assist and support these municipalities when they themselves are not capacitated? They don't have personnel to do that job. You go to Northern Cape, at some point there was almost 60% vacancy rate in a department. They could not move an inch to help either of those municipalities. That's why they are stagnant. The situation in Northwest is worse. Municipalities in Northwest, today they are under Section 139, tomorrow is reversed, the following day they are back. MMs are just employed willy-nilly in some of the municipalities. If they like me tomorrow, I'll be an MM in one of those municipalities. If they don't like me tomorrow, they dismiss me. What is the department doing? We know, by law, that is another sphere of government. They've got the buck stops with them. But this department is charged with the responsibility to play a supporting role. And when need be, the minister has got powers in terms of the same Municipal Finance Management Act, as well as the Municipal Systems Act, as amended. Municipalities, meanwhile, there's the delay in terms of this regulation. They are continuing to employ incompetent people. The MEC are ahead with the status quo. They don't challenge these things. Only in case at end, and Western Cape, where we have seen something happening. You see. But still, the Systems Act, where the MEC fails to act, it empowers the minister to act. Why is the minister not acting is a question that should be answered by himself.
The Municipal Finance Management Act is very clear of the responsibility of everyone. But you see, we are worried because we are seeing a tendency where departments shift everything now to National Treasury, as if National Treasury is a super department. You see? Because some of the issues, including the ones that, like for example, the issues that you are referring to National Treasury to respond to, I would argue that you should be able to respond to those issues. National Treasury has got its own responsibility and roles insofar as financial matters are concerned, and they can play up to a certain point. But the rest of the other things really lies with the department to do. And there should not be this shift of things to National Treasury, because at some point it will be like they are encroaching on your territory. Hence, we would expect you to tell us that what is it exactly? Because my interest really is, and as a committee, is what is it exactly that this department is doing to make sure that this policy proposal, this local government turnaround strategy, is achieved. The 2014 clean audit is achieved. Because some of us argue that thing is achievable if we can only address those issues that the AG is being consistently complaining about. The Systems Act, long before it was even implemented, you see municipalities are implementing, but you hear departmental officials from national level beginning to say to us, no, you see that piece of legislation has got so many loopholes, has got these gaps, but who produced it? It was initiated by the department. As parliamentarians, we only made changes there and there and based on the submissions from the public. And then, why do we complain even implementing it? Let's put it to a test. Now we are told you've got over 100 pieces of clauses of different acts that you are working on to improve. And those are the things that give municipalities the opportunity to hide behind and say, no, you see, even there is acknowledgement by our department that there are these gaps, there are this. Let's leave that to the courts. Let the courts be the ones that says this law is weak. Let it go back and correct here and there, like those in other departments where it has happened. But this one is being kicked out by the department itself. And if I'm wrong, the question would be, why is the department not taking action in situations where wrong people are being appointed post the coming into effect of that particular law? You see. Now, coming back to the issues that bring us here, the figures are there being supplied by the AG. 46% are within the bracket of what we think is acceptable, although they are just a step closer. 41 of them should just move and join the 6 or the 13 that or the 5% that has got clean audit. The question is, what is it that the department together with provinces is doing to make sure that 46% remains there? It does not come back out of this coming. We are interested to know what is it that we are doing to keep them there. Then the next level will be, what is it that we are doing to make sure that the remainder, 54% of those who are still below that level, goes up there? You see? We should have those processes going on as we speak now. They should have started long time ago, last there already, so that there's certainty. Because it will be very difficult now for anybody to say what is the view, or if a question can be asked as to, in your view as a department, and based on your analysis and your monitoring mechanisms that you are training are in place, would be the result of 2011-12. Are we going to see the figure increasing beyond 46% that we have, or there's a likelihood that a number of those that were already there will regress? Because if you have done your work properly as a department together with these provinces, you should be in the position to tell us now with confidence that no. With regard to the audit now, come next year this time, we'll be celebrating to say we are at this percentage. But you don't hear that coming from yourself. We don't. Such that some of us are found wanting when we are asked elsewhere by different people as to whether this 2014 is achievable. And I'm saying we can achieve it. We might not get 100%, but not if the department continue to do the way they are doing things. We should be putting a lot of pressure on provinces and these municipalities to appoint municipal managers, appoint CFOs, appoint the right people, and where they appoint wrong people, they are biased and people who are incompetent, take them to court in terms of the Systems Act, so that they can see that we mean business. But the department keep on creating, coming up with pieces of legislation that is difficult even for them to implement. We are going to hit the same snag when it comes to MISA. You see? Because the sooner they realize this municipality that they can quickly maneuver out of this thing, that's what they are going to do. And there's a perception out there that our municipalities are corrupt, municipalities, you don't get services there, and all those things and all those things. But the department is not helping us. I mean, it's quite worrying. Also, but more so because your report is telling us of only two things, which is actually one thing that you are going to do. Just go out and listen what is the root cause and ask those who got disclaimers, why did you get a disclaimer? As if you don't know. You know why they got the disclaimers. I know why they got disclaimers. Why go to them? Come up with something else that will make them get out of that situation. Period. So in the nutshell, ma'am, I'm not pleased with the submission. Perhaps you must go back and prepare something that will give us comfort, something that we can use as we go to this municipality, that, and boldly show that, look, this is what the department is doing. What have you done to play your part in relation to this? But if you go to this municipality and say, have the department visited you now to do what? To listen to why you are here. I mean, we are wasting time. It's a real waste of time. So I will beg you with respect that I don't want to believe that there's nothing that you are doing as a department. I believe there's something, but in preparing this report, people just prepare the report like it is a norm, that at Parliament we just go and table reports. But this one, as the chair of this committee, I would not accept it. I was just being kind and merciful to allow members to comment. In fact, I would have rejected it right from the beginning, not to waste anybody's time. But I felt it is important that we discuss this thing so that you understand where we come from, and so that you also hear your views. But quite frankly, you can't, under the circumstances of what is being presented, only be doing these two things that are contained in the report. It's quite disappointing. And my view is that you will have to go back insofar as this report is concerned and prepare a better report. And perhaps in that meeting, we'll communicate the date. Would appreciate if the minister and the DG as well and yourself, ma'am, could be part of that meeting. In the absence of them, then there won't be any meeting. We'll take it that the department is refusing to work together with us. But we are doing this because we are the ones who goes out there to actually make sure that your plans as adopted by government are achievable. Because today in this country, the AG, ourselves, yourself, everybody is talking about clean audit. And it's your brainchild. So you must help us to make it achievable as a department. That's why we called the department here, because we were not sure as to whether you are still pursuing this. Maybe we are talking about something that you have long abandoned. But if it's not been abandoned, it's still part and parcel of the objective of the department, then we would want to see you play a greater role in assisting all of us, National Treasury, AG, and then that's why the AG reps are here, Treasury is here, just to listen to what is it that you are doing. We don't want to read things into the newspaper. So without any further lamenting and stuff like, let's just agree that you will go and prepare a better report for Parliament, not this one. I don't see, we can't go to the House and report that out of all these things, the department is saying they are going to visit municipalities and understand the root cause. And then what? After understanding what? We are the highest level. So, Bondad, can we get to Misa and note this one and go?
Chairperson, I hope that the message is very clear, that the report that you are expecting them to prepare, the correct one, we are not actually referring to desktop creativity. We actually refer to a report that talks to what they are practically doing.
Exactly.
Not just simply to create something for us. And
okay. The message is loud and clear. We get it. This is not good enough. This committee expects way more from the department. The department is disappointing this committee at present. And I've taken detailed notes about what the committee expects of that fresh report that needs to be brought, and we will endeavor to meet that as a minimum, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Beard.
Chair, to give also some guidance, Chairperson, the management letter of the Auditor General to the municipality is actually the action plan for that municipality. And we want to hear of every one of these 283 municipalities, what is the action plan? Have you checked on them? Is it there? Who's checking that nothing is implemented? That's point one. There's the whole issue, Chairperson, of capacity. We're looking and we're waiting for a department coming in at that door, telling a committee, honorable members, we have recruited grade 12 students to send to a university to go and study financial management. And after 3 years of getting their degree, we put them through a course and we deploy them as financial managers. But not one department come in and say that to us. And there's one country in the world that did that. It's China. They didn't. Because they wanted to do it. That's the difference. Take this message back to your leadership and do something. When I was at school departments, visited the high schools, they recruited us.
civil engineers, electric engineers, you name it. People that can work with water. We want that action plan because it's part and parcel of the National Development Plan. It's a fantastic document. But this is the way we start. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Members. I think we will, I'm told the tea is ready. Let's just take a 15 minutes break for tea. It's 5 past now, and then we resume at 20 past 11 to receive this presentation on MISA. It's tea break, Honourable Members.
Yeah, but only today, because since last week it was high. Yeah, but just we so bored.
Oh, okay. Meant to introduce
introduce a turnaround mechanism in dealing with the provisioning, refurbishment, and maintenance of municipal infrastructure. It was officially proclaimed as a government component on the 11th of May 2012, with COCTA as its principal department or principal portfolio, thereby operating within the department's broader policy positions. Prior to its proclamation in May, COCTA piloted the implementation of MISA and its programs through a unit within the Department of Cooperative Governance, a unit that was called the Special Purpose Vehicle for Infrastructure Development Unit. And I think it's important to also indicate that MISA becomes the direct successor in responsibility to the support program that DBSA was providing to the program that was Sienza Manje. And Sienza Manje was established just briefly in 2006 and focused on providing hands-on capacity building support to municipalities on engineering, project management, and financial management. I thought, we thought, Minister, Honorable Chair, that it was important to link, to show the link between Sienza Manje and MISA. And that, the Sienza Manje, as you would probably know, the Chair and Honorable Members, was managed by the Development Bank of Southern Africa on behalf of government. A total amount of 1.4 billion was spent by DBSA during the 5 years of Sienza Manje's existence, with 70% of that amount coming from National Treasury and 30% being DBSA's own contribution. And in 2011, government took a decision to unbundle Sienza Manje, with the infrastructure component transferred to COCTA and the financial management component transferred to National Treasury. The other thing, Chair, that we thought we need to indicate is that both the evaluation report of Sienza Manje, as well as submission by the Financial and Fiscal Commission to the Select Committee on Finance, both these reports identify a number of lessons that we need to learn from the implementation of Sienza Manje. And in developing the new model of MISA for supporting municipalities, we have consciously taken into account those lessons that that we can extract from the from these two reports. And we have consequently identified the following five key strategic focus areas in order to be able to for MISA to be able to be more effective and successful. And the first area is the area of municipal infrastructure diagnosis. And this is really a scientific and in-depth assessment of the state of municipal infrastructure required for the provision of water, sanitation, roads, electricity, and refuse removal services. And earlier we referred to the diagnosis report, and they were through this process that we came through and came up with those diagnosis reports. And they really speak to the specific issues affecting each and every one of the municipalities that we have undertaken the process in. And the second component is the technical support. And this entails providing specialized technical support to municipalities through, as an example, deployment of technical experts, you know, to undertake issues of like master plans, feasibility studies, business plans, as well as designing and implementation of infrastructure projects. And the technical support, really, how we do it is that we respond to the diagnosis, the issues that come out of the diagnosis report itself. So we put together support plans that talk to the issues that come out of the diagnosis report, and then we provide the support that is required in each municipality to respond to those. those issues. And I think it's important to indicate that MISA becomes responsible for issues pertaining to infrastructure and service delivery. But what then we also do is that we work with our partners in dealing with all the other areas that would have come out of that diagnosis report, because we've looked also issues such as governance, financial management, but then we will then not as MISA respond to those issues, but we'll ensure that our partners then respond to those issues that would have come out of that diagnosis process. The third component, Chair, is the municipal capacity development. And this involves the building and or strengthening of the in-house capacity of municipalities to be able to develop, operate, and maintain their infrastructure on their own in the medium to long term. So once we want to make sure that when we exit that municipality, we should by that time have built capacity, sufficient capacity in that municipality to continue on their own in managing and operating the infrastructure. One of the issues that the honorable members have also raised is capacity within the sector generally, you know, not only in terms of the specific municipalities, but we need to also build capacity within the sector, and hence we've got the fourth key area, which is sector capacity and skills development interventions. And this refers to interventions designed to enhance the technical capacity of local government as a sector. And these include skills development programs such as bursaries, learnerships, and internships for infrastructure development, as well as partnerships with tertiary institutions and professional bodies. And Honorable DPA, we're pleased to know that we have already established a bursary program. And we have about 58 young women and men that we are taking through the tertiary institution and on engineering. And when they are, we have also ensured that as part of the contract that when they are finished, then they come and join the sector itself. And we are working with municipalities to ensure that this program of bursaries also responds to what we would have picked up as in some municipalities that don't lack support, I mean that lack capacity, so that we don't continuously talk about municipalities lacking capacity when we also parallel to that, we are establishing programs that ensure that they talk to that capacity. So we link to all these programs are interlinked, to make sure that we have a holistic approach to dealing with the issue of capacity or lack thereof in these municipalities. And lastly, one of the challenges that we've picked up is lack of proper monitoring and evaluation in the process of implementing infrastructure projects. And we all know that in implementing MIG as an example, we've had challenges where we find that in a municipality money has been spent but there's no project on the ground, you know, and therefore we need to make sure that we follow the money that is spent in our monitoring mechanisms, and this is one area that also we will focus on as MISA. Just to indicate, as I mentioned earlier, that we have already started with the diagnosis process, that a total of 88 municipalities have been put under a diagnosis to evaluate their municipal infrastructure provisioning. These municipalities were identified in conjunction with provincial governments using the following criteria as a basis for prioritization, just to also respond to the question that the Chair had raised earlier. What we also did was that even before utilizing that criteria was also to look sure that those provinces that are less capacitated than others, that we also kind of prioritize them, but also we make sure that we identify more municipalities in those particular provinces. And these municipalities, the criteria is looked at the issue of high infrastructure and basic services backlogs, low technical capacity, but also we looked at the issue of management capacity generally within those municipalities, the vulnerability of those municipalities, but also those we prioritize those municipalities with low economic base and or inability to collect revenue. That just summarizes the number of municipalities per province. We'll see that KZN has the highest number of municipalities, and particularly because KZN has 61 municipalities compared to the next province that is the highest, which is Eastern Cape with 45 municipalities. And hence, you will see that KZN has the highest number of municipalities. But also, if you look at the criteria that we have mentioned earlier, KZN, there are a number of those municipalities that really fit the criteria that that we spoke about earlier. And we will have your Gauteng as an example, because it's got fewer municipalities, but also has more of your high capacity municipalities, having fewer municipalities that we supporting them on. And this list just provides the detail, the names of all those municipalities that we have undertaken diagnostics in. But let me hasten to mention, Chair and Honourable Members, that this is what we are starting with, taking into account, of course, also our budget constraints. And the intention is really to make sure that as we go forward, we take more municipalities, but also as we go forward, we acknowledge, we understand that there will be municipalities that will move to the next level, but also there will be municipalities that will, unfortunately, will regress. But we'll need to make sure that we pick up those issues so we are flexible in supporting those municipalities going forward, taking into account those nuances. And continued that those are the other provinces, municipalities in the other five provinces. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, if we had, you know, were to put together, try and put together the findings of the various diagnoses, we'll probably have 20 pages. But what we then have decided to do is to highlight findings that kind of cut across in most provinces and in most municipalities, or in a number of municipalities, and we only have highlighted those that relate to infrastructure development and management. And the main ones is, I think we all are with lack of appropriate skills in planning and technical units of, you know, for infrastructure development and maintenance. And secondly, the infrastructure master plans are not existing in a number of these municipalities. And you then ask yourself, how are they going to develop their infrastructure going forward if they don't even have master plans? And there's a problem with overloaded infrastructure requiring refurbishment. And we've picked up that this mainly relates to your wastewater treatment plants to a large extent, and then the water treatment works as well. Aging infrastructure is causing service interruptions. We find the number of these municipalities that have aging infrastructure, that's when you find a lot of service interruptions. Serious challenges in supply chain management processes when procuring infrastructure projects, as well as in contract management. Municipalities have serious challenges in this regard. And we've also found that there's a huge problem with lack of infrastructure maintenance. issue of infrastructure backlogs is also a big problem, and particularly to your what you will call your former homeland areas and provinces that have those that you find that there's huge infrastructure backlogs. Also, there's insufficient government funding, and one of the suggestions that was coming up quite strongly is that there is therefore a need to look at alternative funding, and that MISA needs to support municipalities to mobilize additional funding for infrastructure projects. But that some municipalities also have difficulties in attracting and retaining technical staff, and this is pretty rife in provinces such as your Northern Cape, you know, where they really struggle to attract technical staff and retain them. And that there's high vacancy rate in technical positions. And as we then develop our solutions in terms of addressing, you know, these problems, we, as part of the agreement that we sign with municipalities, is that the municipalities must also indicate, must still indicate the role that they play. I mean, if you take as an example the last point, which is the high vacancy rate in technical positions, is that when we provide the support, we also say we want by this time for you to have appointed these in these particular positions, particularly your technical positions, and we assist the municipalities in ensuring that they appoint those and fill in those particular positions. But I must admit that it's a long way, because they, you know, as you assist, there are also other issues, particularly your governance issues and the politics that then sometimes impede the process and the progress in ensuring that the right thing is done. In terms of lessons learned, both in the implementation that we've picked up, that we spoke about in the implementation of Sienza Manje, but also as we start rolling out, when we're piloting and we start rolling out the program, is that we've realized that there is a need for a central and effective coordination of support for the program to succeed. It was one challenge where we would find that there are three departments, they all seek to support the municipality, that municipality, in the same problem, and yet those departments are not talking to each other, and that is really not helping the municipality. The other issue is the issue of multi-year planning. We find that it will be a key instrument for infrastructure delivery, because unfortunately, municipalities will not have sufficient funding in that particular year or in the particular in 2 years to be able to deliver on the whole infrastructure. So they need to plan ahead and in a multi-year approach. But also the other issue is MISA's programs must focus on the sustainability of infrastructure as well as the sustainability of that municipality. It is not enough to go in and assist in terms of delivering that particular infrastructure or project, and then you get out. So you must put in place measures to make sure that there is sustainability going forward. And all MISA's interventions must recognize the central role of skills development and capacity building. I think that's an issue that has also come out strongly earlier. All MISA's support programs must have clear deliverables and milestones, and there must be consequences for non-delivery from both parties, you know, or for both parties. And so we want to make sure that as we get into those municipalities, the power programs are time-bound. One of the problems that we had with Sienza Manje was you'll find that there's a technical expert that stays there for 6 years, you know, without really seeing significant progress going forward. So we can't have a situation where we come in and substitute the work that is, we substitute the work that is supposed to be done by the municipality. So our programs must clearly become time-bound and must have clear deliverables. is currently staffed on short-term transferees and employees of the DBSA, with contracts ending by the end of September 2012, except for the acting CEO, who's directly appointed employee of MISA, and two senior officials who are seconded from COCTA. And we had to make sure that we, in order to ensure also seamless transfer from Sienza Manje into MISA, that we don't abruptly, just once MISA doesn't have capacity, we abruptly stop the support from the bank. So there is a process to make sure that we have a seamless transfer integration of Sienza Manje into MISA. And included in the DBSA transferees is 81 technical experts in the field of engineering and planning, those that have now been absorbed within MISA. And this was so with a view of allowing MISA to finalize also its organizational development as well as operational policies. And all this has now been accomplished, and full implementation is targeted for the 7th of September 2012. We thought it's also important to share with you that the 2012 medium-term expenditure framework provides a total amount of 613 million rand for MISA, and that is distributed as follows, with 197 in the current financial year, 202 in the next financial year, and 214 in the financial year that follows. In conclusion, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, would like to indicate that in light of the many challenges facing local government relating to infrastructure and service delivery, we believe that sustainable turnaround of our municipalities requires effective coordination, intensive support, and alignment of efforts by all stakeholders. And we believe that MISA is designed as the mechanism to facilitate that process in as far as infrastructure and service delivery is concerned. Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Question time. Honourable Makhubela, DPR, Mashile.
Thanks, Chairperson. I got only question one. When following the presenter from page one coming, starting from diagnosis, it came out with the key findings, well and good, and then lesson learned, other page, well and good, interim management, well and good, but I missed the main one, the long-term one, is not existing. Whereas at the challenges there, it is the challenges where you are having your DBA, ending their contract. We should see what will be the strategy after this, which will face in after this, you short of the main strategy, which is page 14P, according to my marking. 14A is those in my interim. 14B, that is, when are you going to do that? It's a very good document, but you like those things. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also thank you to the gentleman for his presentation. Thank you for the good news on slide 6, 85 students you're referring to. When were they taken in and when will they complete their studies to be deployed? Then, Chairperson, to the department before they leave today, there was an analysis done, or the process was started regarding the fiscal framework for local government with National Treasury and the FFC. The FFC held public hearings in February. The FFC report is available. What is the outcome of the analysis or research done by this department? Because the Deputy Minister informed this committee that a local government fiscal framework summit will be held. target date was the end of February 2012. Are there any feedback regarding that? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. This particular issue, Chair, it just falls within COGTA. And COGTA, with its trademark of incapacity. Now, we say this unit, I'm aware, Chair, that it has already started rolling out dating experts. I'm aware. But we are told that there is only three people. There are only three people, Chair. In 4 weeks' time, three people, and I mean, you can read from that that it may be another institution that is being created that's not going to deliver. Because surely, when we talk about capacity, we're talking about men and women, warm bodies, to do this work. Now, there is no indication. We are saying these 81 odd people, in 4 weeks' time, then they will be out of work, not putting any leg in that office anymore, back to DBSA, unless otherwise something is going to happen. Then they will be having only three people, desktop people, high-level people with ties and bow ties, that cannot go down. That can't go down. That can't drive to Nala, because they will be having a very big Mercedes Benz. They can't drive to Nala. I think this is the thing that we must ask to receive necessary attention. September is just in 2-3 days' time, and then we'll be counting weeks, and then to actually get people, personnel, to be appointed to do the right job, you need more than 4 weeks. We're not being told that you are appointing them. You are saying you are terminating their contracts at the end of September. But the other contra activity, it is not talked about. I think that's all what I would like to request, that it must happen. And then this particular program, for how many years? For how many years? And then the buzzeries. The buzzeries, I think the comrades then will remember the discussion we had this morning about government departments. You know, it's children of officials of this department get buzzeries from that other department, and children for those officials in that department get buzzeries from this department. Who are these people that have got these buzzeries? How did we get them? Who are they? Have we really used objective criteria to get them, or we have just exchanged internally our own children and technical personnel in all municipalities, and we are failing to retain technical personnel, it's because you don't pay. It's because you don't pay for those people. You don't pay. You see, you're taking a professional engineer, you put him in that municipality, and then you expect him to be paid something like 230,000 per annum. And this person, when you go to a private sector, the other side, in no time, in 3 months, 4 times, he's already having a BMW 320 and is earning something like 700,000 rand. Hardly 2 years from college. And there's no way that you can keep that person in Northern Cape where it is so hot and paying him nothing, and then he thinks that when he goes to Gauteng, he can get 3 times that amount, and with a very big, nice car, and then with everything, all the institution around him. You see, the major problem, you don't pay. You don't pay at the level of local government. It's a reality. What is there that we are doing about that? Are we having any plans of evaluating those particular positions? Because what is going to happen is that you are going to have technically qualified people who refuse to be appointed by the municipality, but then will be appointed by this private sector and come and work at the same municipality. And the only difference is the salary and the employment conditions. That's the only difference. That person that we say we can't sustain in Nala municipality, but you will definitely see that there will be a technical qualified person that will be brought to Nala to come and work there. You say you can't attract, but the private sector will attract that person to come and work there. So the question that now we must be asking is, what is there that the private companies can attract and deploy and sustain that person in Nala that the municipality cannot attract, cannot sustain? You'll realize that the employment conditions for these technically qualified people is most much dear matter. You see. Therefore, we needed to talk to that specific issue. Then you have got this one person directly appointed to meet, but then we say it's an acting CEO. What are we trying to say? It's directly appointed to meet, but then it's acting. How is that possible? Or what do we want to say? Because surely you should have just appointed the person as a CEO if it's directly appointed to me. Why didn't we do that? Thanks.
Fine, Honorable Becker.
This is an outstanding document, and I think you pinpoint all the problems, and you know what to do to resolve it. But I am worried about the coordination and communication between yourself, the provincial departments, and the municipalities, as I'm not sure if you are going to have all the help and from all these. I know two of these municipalities of Western Cape personally very well, and there is no political responsibility in those municipalities, and I'm worried about that political responsibility to support an issue like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Chair, I'm saying it's a very good presentation. believe that sustainable turnaround of our municipalities requires effective coordination, intensive support, and alignment of efforts by all stakeholders. MISA, therefore, is designed as the mechanism to facilitate this. And then after saying this, you say MISA is a temporary structure. It gets people from DBSA and so on and so on. And Honorable Mashile, I think he outlined it correctly when he said finally there's a total of 3 people who would be full time.
Yeah, Chair, I don't see any strategy in COPTA. Something that becomes very convincing to say we are going to be able to turn around these municipalities. It's very difficult. It's very, very difficult. Because almost every month we are down on the ground talking to municipalities. Supply chain management is chaotic. Finance management is chaotic. We take tours, Chairperson, to look at the infrastructure. It's very bad. So I arrived late, Chairperson. Maybe some other presentations are very positive in terms of what COPTA is beginning to achieve. But from this presentation here, I'm not convinced that COPTA is on top of the situation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Just a few questions from myself. I just want to be clarified as to what is the actual role of MISA in relation to this rolling out of infrastructure in municipalities. And then once that is answered, I'm sure it will lead to clarify me further as to how are these projects going to be funded? Are they going to be funded by municipalities from whatever grants they have? And if that is so, whether there are going to be any memorandums of understandings between MISA and them, so to avoid any possible conflict and all these things. And who finally take responsibility in case of any mishappening? Is it municipalities or is MISA? If I could be clarified on that one. The rest of the other questions, I think my colleagues have covered them sufficiently. You may respond, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Members. I think the very first question, which talks about way going forward, the long term strategy going forward. I think we must admit that that's one thing that is lacking in the presentation. We certainly accept and acknowledge that. And what we'll do is at the at the whim of the committee, when the committee wants us to come back and talk, even if it like to give the committee comfort that we are in the contracting stage. So we are contracting the technical experts, hence we are saying that we are, you know, by the 7th of September, all that would have been concluded. It's just that we had to follow public service regulations and it, the whole process of contracting both the technical experts as well as the what I will call program management and back office staff. We are also in the process of contracting those people. So it will, by the 7th of September, you will not be having three people in the program management and back office. You will be having a proper capacity in place within MISA. The fact that we had an arrangement with DBSA and people were contracted to DBSA was exactly to make sure that we prepare for this full takeoff, so that we either we don't take shortcuts, we go through proper processes to contract to contract people. I think it's important to also share with the committee that there are people that are involved in infrastructure within the department itself. As an example, if you take what you call the technical support unit, it's got engineering professionals within the department, and therefore there's a need to also align to make sure that we align and not have something happening within the department as well at the same time have same thing happening within MISA. So all this process that we're talking about that will lead to the 7th of September has also taken that into account to make sure that those that relate to infrastructure development within the department are also transferred into MISA. So I just wanted to give the committee comfort that by end of September, these technical experts that we're talking about would have been contracted into MISA. So they, it's not that they will fall out of the program. In terms of how long will the MISA program last, there hasn't been any. We accept that changing and turning around local government, but also ensuring that local government and municipalities are at the level that we want them to be, is not going to take 2-3 years. It's a long-term project. And we accept that we need to demonstrate as we go along. We must demonstrate progress, though. We can't say that we want to see progress in 3-5 years' time. There must be clear deliverables and timelines, and there must be progress towards meeting those targets and within those timelines. But it is an open-ended program which will be reviewed to see where we are in terms of progress in turning around municipalities. And with regards to the bursaries as to who gets them, we also can assure the committee that it was an open process. We advertised externally, and particularly in those provinces that your poorer provinces, and a number of them of these bus above I don't know, call them buses or students that are holding the bursaries come from those provinces, and we made sure that the issue of conflict of interest also we looked at, that we don't have our people that are taken on the program are people that are related to either people within the department or so forth. So we put a very strict criteria to ensure that we provide to those that are in need, and we assessed each and every application that came through to make sure that they are indeed in need and they come from poor backgrounds. Mogale City, I must admit that initially it was not part of the initial priorities that we had agreed on, but the province has made a case to include Mohale City as part of MISA municipalities, and we have agreed to that. So it is part of the MISA municipalities. This issue of retaining of technical staff, particularly in your poorer provinces, and also just generally within municipalities, because they are more in demand or private sector can pay more, is a challenge that we have. It came out also very strongly during the diagnosis, where municipalities were saying, we are unable to retain these people because we can't pay them. We don't have the funds to pay them the kind of salaries that is being paid or that are being paid by the private sector. It is an issue. I think it's for us as government to take a decision as to how do we address that, address this issue. A simple approach would be to say, let municipalities fund the positions that they have. But if municipalities don't have sufficient funding to fund for those positions, it means that we're not going to have people in those positions, you know, because those municipalities can't attract those people. One idea that has come out is during our interaction with municipalities is that let municipalities pay for the portion that they can pay, and let national government beef up the salaries to make sure that we are able to attract those people. And there was a suggestion of also allowance to make sure that those that go to provinces such as far-flung provinces and far-flung municipalities, you provide allowances for those. We are currently doing it within our own program for technical experts. Those that are based on your far-flung municipalities, we provide them with allowance, a living allowance in those municipalities. The question should be, shouldn't we be doing the same thing with municipalities and supporting those municipalities? That's something that unfortunately will have to be that government will have and particularly the department will have to take a decision on, and it will require an agreement with National Treasury as well. Unfortunately, the colleagues are here, and we have started raising this matter with National Treasury. Around the issue of the acting CEO, unfortunately, that's how the process unfolded, and there were issues around the public service regulations as well. And hence, unfortunately, we went the route that we took. In terms of coordination and communication with provinces and municipalities, as well as political responsibility to support this initiative, with the provinces, I can put it very clearly that we're working 100% with provinces. They are fully on board. We are coordinating. We've got a steering committee, a structure that comprises, you know, national as well as the provinces, that drives the program in the provinces. But we've also given provinces specific responsibilities pertaining to the implementation of the program, whilst we remain with the final accountability and the final responsibility for the implementation, so that if anything doesn't happen, it's us that get accountable. We don't say no, we had asked the province. So we have put those protocols with provinces in place. But also around the political responsibility in municipalities, is that it's also just to address the, I think, linking to the issue that was raised by Chair around the memorandum of agreement, is that support plans that we'll implement in provinces must be adopted by the council. So the council must take the political responsibility for implementing that support plan and must also adopt the memorandum of agreement. So we'll have memorandum of agreement between MISA and the municipality. That clearly outlines the responsibilities and obligations of both parties. And those two documents must be adopted by the council so that the council takes full responsibility and accountability politically for what happens in those municipalities. But I must also indicate, Chair, just to deal also with the question that you raised, that certainly MISA is not there to take over the function and the responsibility of the municipality. So the municipality must still perform its functions as per the law, as by legislation. Our role as MISA is to support that particular municipality to make sure that they deliver as per their mandate. And the MOA exactly regulates what form of support that we provide, and as well as what the, once again, the responsibility and obligation of the municipality should be. In instances where municipalities or a municipality that we have offered support to and we have signed an agreement with doesn't play its part, there's legislation, there's sufficient legislation in place that we can trigger to make sure that we bring that municipality to book. I mean, an example, MIG, as an example, is the responsibility of COCTA. If municipalities continue to misuse MIG, or they continue not to perform, to underperform with regards to MIG, we provide the support and there is a memorandum of agreement in place. Still, beyond all that, the municipality goes out of the agreement and they do something that contravenes the law. You can change that MIG. There are mechanisms to trigger that MIG and change it from a Schedule 6 to a Schedule 7, which is a grant in kind. Those mechanisms are there already, and we don't want, though, to push them forward to and threaten municipalities, but they must be there and must be available for us to trigger if the municipality doesn't play its role. That's our approach to supporting municipalities. So we are there to support the municipalities to deliver and operate and maintain their infrastructure properly. Around the issue of Sienza Manje, I think there has been an acknowledgement that Sienza Manje had its limited successes, and we must all learn from the lessons in implementing Sienza Manje, both positive and negative lessons. We must avoid those issues. I mean, as an example, what I mentioned earlier or referred to, where they deploy a technical expert for a long period of time without clear deliverables. Those are negative lessons that we must learn and must avoid as MISA. A second example is where Sienza Manje became this tool for offering loans to municipalities rather than being a support program for municipalities that require the necessary support. You know, so you will find that the Joburg, Sienza Manje needs to give a loan to Joburg, and therefore it provides, or DBSA wants to provide loan to Joburg, and then it then provides support to Joburg, where Joburg has the necessary capacity to be able to do the work on its own. You know, and so it's all those lessons that we've learned from Sienza Manje. And are not continuing to implement Senza Manja. Senza Manja came to an end, and MISA is a new program, which is, as I indicated earlier, taking over or a successor in terms of responsibility. But of course, remodeling our support program to ensure that our support program responds to the needs of the municipalities and then become effective. And thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thanks. Thank you very much. We left with 10 minutes for this meeting, Honorable Members. Honorable Mansisi, followed by you, Honorable Chair.
Yeah, no, Chairperson. I was just saying that given the extent of the inability of municipalities to deliver services, and coupled with a number of these problems of skills within the municipalities and infrastructure that has come to decay and so on, you don't need a MISA that will be located at the national level, sending people occasionally to intervene. You actually need provincial MISAs if you want to be effective in municipalities. People will be able to intervene on a daily basis. Staff that is skilled to deal with infrastructure and other areas of training for municipalities. You don't need an entity that will sit somewhere. And then, secondly, Chairperson, that's fine. But that is my input with regard to the issue of MISA. Okay, thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you for the reply. Page 10, Northern Cape, please add Kamishpa. Thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to respond to one of the questions which was raised regarding the Deputy Minister having said something around the Fiscal Framework Summit. The progress update on that is that in terms of what transpired, is that by end of November there has been a technical sort of fiscal summit within government. That is more at an official level or technocratic level, hosted by the National Treasury as well as as well as COFDA, with the involvement of the various national departments which are directly impacted. For example, if you talk about water, which is also in terms of the funding of local government is involved, the Department of Water Affairs, those particular sector departments. So in terms of the fiscal summit, which was supposed to look on to happen to include other players outside government, national government, that has not yet taken place. And as to when it will take place at this stage, we don't have a plan schedule. But part of that is part of the technical work which is happening with Treasury and COFDA, as well with the FFC, involvement of the Financial and Fiscal Commission, because some of these things are also responding to the very recommendations of the Financial and Fiscal Commission. Some of that technical work is undergoing, and it will also get impacted upon by the issue of the publications of the population census data, because that information, one way or another, it also got bearing on that as well. So that is what is happening in that front. Secondly, just to complement what the colleagues was saying regarding MISA vis-a-vis municipalities in terms of the funding of projects, in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, it's quite clear
like he correctly outlined the outline that the money flows directly to municipalities. MISA just comes as a vehicle, as part of national government's initiative to support those municipalities in terms of underspending. So it's one of the instruments, but at the moment, in terms of the funding of fiscal arrangements, money goes directly to municipalities. And those projects we are talking about for infrastructure or anything, it's municipalities themselves who identify those projects in terms of their integrated development plans and all those things. So the role of MISA is just to facilitate in terms of implementation of those projects. So those projects are owned by municipalities themselves and funded by municipalities. Thanks.
No, thanks very much. I think we... No question, comments only.
Chairperson, the presenter said lack of monitoring and some of the project, if you go to the ground, they're not existing. What have they done in order to rectify this? Because a lot of them, or how many, if any, money recovered for those projects which was not implemented?
A minute.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Honourable Members.
You only respond to this question, not comment.
Okay. No. We must admit that what we've done so far is to put a system to monitor those projects, but also to collate all the projects that that are funded through MIC, so that we can then start the process of monitoring those projects systematically, and that will also start in September. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We have noted now what is MISA all about and what is progress to date, and we'll keep on engaging you going forward. But I can see MISA is just a new version of Citizen Munch, which has also found a new home in COPTA from the DVSA. So anyway, we'll give it a chance, and we'll keep on monitoring its successes and stuff like. But we hope that there will be successes going forward. And thanks very much, Ms. Majid and your team. And we will communicate with you or with the department with regard to our follow-up meeting on those areas that we spoke on earlier on. Thank you very much. And honourable members, it's only two items left now on the agenda. It's the adoption of the minutes. I'll start with the minutes of the 7th of August. If you have issues to raise in those minutes, the floor is yours. Thank you, sir. Any corrections on the minutes? If none, can I have the mover? Moved by Honorable Pierre. Any seconder? Honorable Monzizi, second. Thank you very much. The minutes of the 8th of August. Any mover? Honorable Kubela moves. And Honorable DPR second. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. There will be a Finance Committee meeting commencing at 14 hour at room E249. I'm sorry. And Honorable Members, this meeting stays adjourned. I thank you.
Yeah, I know the secretary.